Please welcome Bruce.
Thank you. Thanks, Bob. How about you? Thank you, Bob. Great to see you all. Hope you managed to get fed without getting fed up, which is always a good thing. And we're back here for the fourth session, and we're going to read a little bit about God being righteous. God's righteous. He's just. What he says he's going to do, he does. So let's start in Psalm 112 and verse 4. I don't know about you, but this is one of my favorite verses. Psalm 112, verse 4. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. Look at that first part. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. So if you find yourself surrounded by way too much darkness, just start praying for that light to show up. Because there's always going to be darkness, but it's unto the upright there ariseth light. That's the great news. And then the second half of the verse, he's gracious, he's full of compassion and righteous. God is righteous, he's just, he carries through with what he says he's going to do. Psalm 119, that great psalm that mentions the word of God in every verse. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and what? Very faithful. God's testimonies, his words, what he says, they're righteous and very faithful. God is just faithful to bring his word to pass. Psalm 119, 142. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is what? The truth. Verse 160. Thy word is true starting in the third chapter, but don't believe, no. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Verse 164, 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy what? Righteous judgments. 7 times a day he just praised God because his word is so righteous, so faithful. Verse 172, my tongue shall speak of thy word, for thy commandments are what? Righteousness. Thy commandments are righteousness. All thy commandments are righteousness. How do you define righteousness? God's commandments. Psalm 125, verse 1. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. So you want to be like a mountain that won't be moved? That's what insurance companies are always doing, you know. Mount Etna or Gibraltar or something, your piece of the rock. Steady, steadfast, we'll be there when you need us. Well, they might or they might not be. I once had an account at the Perpetual Savings Bank, and I went down one day to see a sticker on the window that the government had closed it because it was insolvent. It wasn't very perpetual. But they might move my account down the street to some other bank. Well, we, however... They that trust in the Lord will be like Mount Zion. We will be that, like that reliable rock, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. Verse 2. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people, from henceforth even forever. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous. You don't have to worry about the rod of the wicked hurting the righteous. Lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. So you don't have to worry about the rod of the wicked. Isaiah 32. Isaiah 32. And here in verse 17. And the work of righteousness shall be peace. Isaiah 32:17, the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Knowing that God is righteous, knowing that we are right before God, the result is peace, quietness, and assurance. What a great thing. That's what we all need. I don't know if any of you have ever read or listened to much of the teachings of Bishop K.C. Pillai, who taught for many years a lot of Eastern customs, Orientalisms in the Bible. But he said he grew up as a Hindu, being trained to meditate and control his mind, yet he never had any peace till he learned about Jesus Christ. So all the mental control and deep breathing exercises, those can be very helpful, but he never found peace through them. He only found peace through Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? Well, that's what happens. Being righteous, we have peace, quietness, and assurance forever. And Isaiah 41, verse 10, fear thou not. That's what God says to his people here in Isaiah. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with what? The right hand of my righteousness. The right hand, the hand of blessing. He'll uphold his people with the right hand of his righteousness. Incredible stuff. Now I'd like to talk about our righteousness, how God's people became righteous. We covered a little bit of this earlier when we were talking about grace versus law, but we'll go into it in a little more detail now. In Genesis chapter 6, before the law, first couple ones in Genesis, both these are before the law was given, and what is often referred to as the patriarchal administration, where God spoke to certain people and then they spoke for God. Here in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was what? Only evil continually. Mankind was not in a very good shape. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah, what? Walked with God. So even though everybody around him was only evil continually, Noah walked with God. Now, would he have had an easier time if there were a lot of people around there praying with him and loving him, believing him? Probably. But they weren't. But Noah still walked with God in spite of his surroundings, in spite of everybody else. See, it always comes down to you and God. It's great that we can walk as one body and help each other. But no matter how many wonderful believers you have around you, you spend a lot of time where it's you and God. And Noah had no believers around to help him. But he still looked to God, and he walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, verse 10, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, verse 13, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood, rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and a cubit was about a foot and a half. So about 450 feet, football and a half, field and a half. It's a big box to make. Large, large box. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side. Verse 17, and behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee, and they shall be male and female.